You, the tens of thousands of pledgers, have allowed us to cut out the last 500 years, the fourth empire. Oh, god damn it.
Oh, no!
It's quite complicated to get working. I know there was a fair amount of skepticism out there.
We've got to earn the belief. The game wasn't built.
Had a good opportunity to work on them, but they are in the works.
Refactor them, change things out, retrofit it, and refactor them, refactor them. People program things.
This is bullshit.
Parp, this is your virtual captain. Welcome to Ardcast episode 10. I'm sitting here with Bucha, Beatwagon, and Dapper Don again. Hey guys, what's up?
How you doing?
It was quite a week here in Star Citizen. Sorry, go ahead and say hello, everybody. Kind of jumped in there.
Hey, how you doing, everybody?
Hey, guys. Glad to be here. Thanks for having me back.
Okay, don't sound too excited, Beat. I am wondering, have you guys checked out the show at all? I do try to cut a little interesting part off in the front, but yeah, I don't expect you to listen to the whole thing, but I'm wondering, how am I doing with choosing those sections in the beginning?
Maybe. I listened to a couple of them. I haven't listened to the most recent ones, but the ones that I have listened to, I didn't notice any editing at all. So that,
oh, no, I don't mean editing. I mean just we just grab an interesting segment that I can find and throw it on the front as a hook or...
Yeah, you've been doing a good job so far. I mean, I think a lot of the time on a weekly show, like, the currently flaring drama really writes itself, so
okay.
It's gotta make it a little easier.
Why, I guess I bring it up because I was especially proud of the last one. Bucha threw out a bombshell about the big fish Russian investor and just threw that on the front as a kind of a nice hook, but hopefully everybody out there enjoyed that episode. And this week was quite active for Star Citizen, the ARG, the augmented reality game, the meta game. Backers kind of... Well, it's always... apparently, it's always a big week when a new ship JPEG is announced. Bear in mind I say announced because it's not flyable. It's not even 3D rendered. I guess maybe it is. I don't know. And... caused quite a splash this week, as it looks like citizens were melting down in pretty large quantities there on Reddit. Beat, you're our man on the Reddit. What's going on?
Oh, what a dubious honor that is. So to break it down just as quickly as I can for everybody who's not familiar with it, they've done another change to the way that older backers or people who are using store credit can buy concept spaceships. They have done this, they've changed this 3 or 4 times now, and in almost every case, it's been a gentle push to say, hey, bring in more new cash. And this last one was just absolutely blatant. You can now, if you're using any amount of store credit at all on a new purchase, it will not have things like lifetime insurance, it will not have a price discount. And in this current case, the ones that you cannot get with store credit also don't come with an extra vehicle. They come with either a tank or a Jeep or whatever that the ones that you're buying with fresh cash are.
So my understanding is it's about $100. Oh, I guess it's more than just $100 difference between the LTI version and the whatever version.
Yeah.
It's more
so
of
it
like.
Changes.
I see.
It changes. When it first started, it was a slight discount. I think it was 15%. You'd get a 15% discount if you were putting in all new all fresh money versus using some store credit. And now it's, I think, is as high as 25% discount, depending on the ship. And that's before you get into the fact that it doesn't come with lifetime insurance and it doesn't come with a vehicle. And it's just... It should be stressed that this is just the most recent in a very, very long line of moves that Cloud Imperium has done to press their backers for fresh cash and punish backers for using store credit, despite the fact that most of the time those backers are still throwing in $50 to $70. I mean, that's what I did. How I got all of my ships when I was a backer was melt something, throw 20, 30 extra bucks in, get something bigger, melt it again later, this, that, and the other thing. This is just the most recent move, and it's finally got a significant amount of backers and a significant amount of large-scale backers, guys like Bad News Baron, to wake up and go, hey, this is pretty anti-consumer. And Reddit, currently, the last couple of days, has been on fire over it, like burning to the foundation over it. It's.
I think that was the shocking part to me, is to see people throwing around almost goon FUD, is like these terms like, what about the pledge? What about, you know, all these different things.
So, treating us like a publisher.
Yeah, actually, there's a bit of irony in that statement now. When you think about the way that Microsoft was treated with Freelancer, you go, oh, well, they're actually keeping their pledge quite nicely. If you think about it,
right? They are treating the backers exactly like they've treated publishers in the past, keeping them in the dark,
exactly
throwing gummed up demos, as I think the exact phrase was, and etc.
Yeah, one of the interesting facets of this particular flare up, and there have been other flare ups. Before about things like this on Reddit, is that you're now seeing people openly comparing Cloud Imperium to places like Electronic Arts, Ubisoft, or Ubisoft, however you want to pronounce it.
Or Activision. The evil publishers.
The evil publishers. The guys who, and you know, this is one of the things that I have been arguing for a while, that it was brought up, I think, very well in the Bad News Baron article, these are all the guys that Cloud Imperium billed themselves as being better than. When they were pitching that to us, they were the moral choice. They were the right option, and they were going to treat us correctly. And now you're seeing large segments of backers saying, hey, you guys aren't doing this at all. You guys are kind of fucking us. And the fact that it's not been buried immediately is somewhat surprising. I don't think too much is going to come from this.
I think you're right. What I'm noticing on this, and there's a post that kind of expands on the different phases that happen every time there's a flare up. I believe it was the original post was by Loxborn, and there's an image of it. I'll try to get it here up on the Twitch stream shortly. But it talks about the different phases where, oh, the rug has been pulled out from under the backers' thought process and beliefs, and they need basically a phase three is where CIG throws up a revised version of what happened. And that, to me, I haven't seen happen yet. They had a response to this issue or this outrage, or I don't know what do you want to call it. But even that thread was locked and I think hidden now.
Well, okay. So in a way they kind of have in some of their responses to this particular flare up, they have mentioned that this was always going to be the plan. This has always been the plan, when in fact, that's not true at all. The last time they talked about moving to, about revamping their CCU system, to the best of my knowledge, if somebody wants to bring up a Spectrum post from a year ago and prove me wrong, please, by all means do. But to the best of my knowledge, the last time they talked about revamping this system, they made no mention whatsoever of the fact that now store credit was going to be completely ineligible for LTI, regardless of how little you use.
Yeah.
So they are kind of rewriting the narrative, but they're honestly doing it in such a subtle way that nobody's noticed yet. And part of the reason why we haven't noticed yet is because we don't usually notice things until Reddit picks up that flag and runs with it. And Reddit still isn't picking, they're still not buying the new narrative. They're still saying, you know, they've sort of almost formed a battle line, and they're saying, no, hold on, we can talk about that in a minute, but we're going to talk about this now. And we won't see them pick up and start carrying the, you know, we've always been at war with East Asia flag for probably another week or so. I don't think.
Well, I mean, you know, from my perspective, I mean, sort of like not to toot my own horn, but The monetary fracking technique sort of like bringing up is sort of like, hey, this is what they're kind of doing to squeeze more money out of it. I mean, I think what my video only has like maybe 3,000 views at most. But I mean, people are kind of talking about, oh, you know, CIG isn't in the business of making money. They're in the business of making a game. And then all of a sudden you sort of see this as sort of like all they want is new money. And they're willing to throw everybody else under the bus to get that new money. And then all of a sudden kind of clicks and says, wait a second, where have I heard this before?
Well, this was basically a bound to happen at some point. I mean, the game is nowhere close to being fun or playable or fully released. So this was bound to happen at some point, no?
Well, okay, so there's two frames of mind on that. You actually, and I'm not sure if you're aware of this, that's actually the same argument that Bad News Baron made, was that, listen, these guys are a company, and at any point, you know, on a long enough timeline, a company will stop being your friend and start being the big corporate behemoth. And his argument was that he's seen Blizzard go from being the good guys to being a big money hungry corporation. He's seen it happen to, you know, Bungie and all these guys. I actually don't think so. I still am sort of an idealist. And actually, this kind of stuff is why I left Star Citizen, what, in 2015 or 2016, I got my refund. This exact sort of stuff I saw coming down the road. And I was like, no, you know, you guys had pitched yourselves as being the moral company. I actually was almost more concerned about having a morally acceptable company than I was having a good game. And I bought into the evil publishers line pretty hard.
Really?
And yeah, I did. And that's one of the reasons why.
But you're such a cynic.
I know. It sounds crazy, but I really did buy into it, and it's one of the reasons why I gave them so much money. I can't explain it. I look back on it now and I go, like, what the, come on, man. Are you kidding me? But at the time I was like, these guys, if these guys can be successful, it might actually shift the paradigm of how video games are made. And I don't get this. I know. It doesn't make any sense. But I still kind of think that if someone were to design
a new model, it could be adopted elsewhere. No?
I think if Cloud Imperium had resisted.
Oh, I see what you said.
Going as hard as they're going for the new money, which, and I don't know why they're doing it. There's a lot of questions that raises in and of itself. Why are they so desperate for new cash? But I'm not even going to go there. If they had resisted doing that and had, I think that they could have stayed on the path to being the moral video game company. And I don't think that they were destined necessarily to become evil publishers. I don't think that was preordained, but I think that it's Chris Roberts and it's Sandy Gardner and it's, you know, to a lesser extent, Ortwin. And so when you say, like, hey, man, do you want to do the good thing or do you want to get more money? There's probably only one way they're going to answer. In my opinion.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, sort of, this is also part of the reason why I left the company was because of, moral conflicts of decision making.
Yeah.
I was speaking more of to the point of the game is not coming out anytime soon, so backers at some point are going to have to start noticing, geez, what is going on here? But yeah, the increasing, you know, putting the screws to the consumer is definitely accelerating that to a bit. But, you know, we're sitting here at year six and talking about acceleration. It's a slow process.
See, I still don't even agree with the fact that the game, you know, just saying the game's not out yet, and then at a certain point, backers are going to have to say what's going on. Because the game is out. The game is buying spaceships and supporting the game.
Ah, okay.
I firmly believe they have got a small or decently sized amount of people so enthralled with the process and the YouTube videos and the quarterly patches and whatever, blah, 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 that they could probably, they might have to cut staff or something, but I firmly believe that they could probably keep this up borderline indefinitely, just based on the fact that they keep making, I don't want to call it content. Content is kind of too strong of a word for 1,000 hours of YouTube video a week, but it is content. It's stuff these people, you know, we listen, this is called the Ardcast for a reason, buddy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's a lot of people playing the Star Citizen metagame right now, and I don't think that they have any intention of stopping, regardless of whether a game comes out or not.
Oh, yeah, and there's also the endorphin rush of giving to something that you believe in and enjoy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. For sure.
There was a post, I can't quite find it, but yeah, I was talking about basically Star Citizens have been playing this store game, and now they've upset the balance of that game, and that's why we're seeing this reaction. It has nothing to do with Star Citizen, the executable that runs on your desktop.
No, it's not wrong.
Yeah, no, not at all. I mean, this is the one part of the game that works. And the one part of the game that works is the part that, quite frankly, most of the older guys are interested in playing. Because most of the older guys are accustomed to the delays at this point. You know, I backed in 2013, I think. And by 2015, like, it actually took me a minute to realize, like, hey, man, I think something might be wrong here. Because I was like, yeah, dude, delays, they happen, whatever. I'm going to buy this fucking Starfare or, you know, whatever it was that I was buying then. And so the old guys are very, very happy to play the storefront game, but you've now just upset the apple cart by you're functionally not letting the old guys play the storefront game anymore.
So they can't play the game with the gold they've put in already.
Exactly.
Oh, right. I didn't think
it's like how every expansion your purples become greens.
Hmm. So they can't upgrade their greens to new purples.
Right.
Oh, wow.
I see that 100%. Damn. Good job, Beat.
Beat, you have an incredible
post.
I'm
deep in this shit. I spend way too much time on Reddit, that's all.
I mean, like, for me, it is interesting to sort of see the battle lines, as you described, sort of like being drawn, and sort of like it seems like every big controversy seems to slice just that little bit more off the community that says, you know what, I can't take this anymore. I'm either getting a refund, or I'm not promoting this, or I am just going away. You know, my wallet's closed. You know, I'll see you at release. Just like, you know, slicing that bit of cheese off little by little by little until you're left with the grind at the end.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah. You're watching, you know, you're watching the riverbank erode here, I think. And the fascinating part of it is that the one thing that I have to really give Cloud Imperium credit for is they have done such an incredible job keeping their backers confused and in the dark that there's really no solid footing to stand on. You don't know if you're standing in the water watching the riverbank erode or if you're standing on the riverbank watching the riverbank erode. And so you've got guys saying, currently, right now, arguing, hey, they should do whatever they want to be doing because obviously it's working. Look at the funding tracker. And in the same thread, you've got guys going, yeah, but how do we know the funding tracker is even legitimate? Right. And these are not goons going in and like seeding shameful thoughts or whatever you want to accuse me and a couple other people of doing. It's actual Redditors going like, all right, but let's try and stand here and look at this from a supremely objective position, and they can't even find solid ground to stand on to look at the current fiasco. And that is 100%. I have to believe that is intentional. And it might sound paranoid, it might sound a little crazy, but they've done such a good job at keeping the people that support them completely clueless and overwhelmed with nonsense information, overwhelmed with, you know, noise.
Good news.
Right, yeah, with good news. Then I have to think that maybe there's actually is somebody there that knows what they're doing, and they just happen to be the most evil motherfucker around.
I mean, yeah, I mean, as far as, like, the funding tracker, sort of, like, a lot of, sort of, like, our speculative research and know, analytics is based upon we have to take the funding tracker at its word. Because if the funding tracker is lying, then that opens up a whole slew of other questions of sort of like, well, does the Foundry 42 loans count? Are there any loans in the U.S.? Are there any other private investors that the seed money is filtering through at like the bottom level? Are refunds counted?
Yeah, we don't even know what, I mean, you know, just talking about the basics, and I try very, very hard to stay away from speculating about their financial situation because I don't know. And quite frankly, I don't have the time in the day that it would take to sit down and even try and figure it out. And I'd probably stand a 99% chance of being wrong, even if I did. But we don't even know from a basic standpoint what goes into the funding tracker. We have no idea if it's counting only fresh cash purchases, or if it's recycling store credit purchases, or if it tracks refunds, or if it tracks, you know,
subscriptions.
Right. Nobody knows. All we know is that it's never once dropped below $10,000 a day. And most of the time, it never drops below $30,000 a day, like clockwork. And that's it. That's all we know. You know, that in and of itself is sort of
suspicious.
Far-fetched for some, but it's hard to gauge how insane people are about space ships.
Yeah, I mean, maybe suspicious is too strong a word. I kind of lean towards suspicious is too strong a word. Although this, like I said, this current cash grab kind of makes me wonder. But it certainly is enough for me to say that I don't have solid ground to stand on when I'm, you know, when I start thinking like, well, they have, you know, $185 million. Of course they're going to be fine. Nobody knows. We don't know. We have no idea.
We mentioned Bad News Baron. Yesterday was running a stream, kind of going, couldn't quite decide if he was going to publish an article about this recent upset or not, and today he did. Yeah. He did publish that. I believe it has, Google's given me his last article, but very interesting article. You tweeted that everybody should read it. What did you take away from that, Beat?
Okay, so I have, first of all, you have to understand who Bad News Baron is,
okay,
for starters, because Bad News Baron is, I think that he is the fairest of the unfair Star Citizen shills.
Agreed.
If that makes sense. And what I mean by this, and I think, Dapper, you can back me up here, is he is absolutely 100% a Star Citizen shill. The guy has $15,000 in it. He's collaborated with Cloud Imperium. He streams it every day. You know, I mean, even in this article, he says it's going to be the perfect game and blah, 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 blah. However, of all of the people who do that kind of thing and shill in that particular way, he is more often than not capable of at least providing some reasoned discourse and at least acknowledging and trying to understand the other side, if that makes sense.
Yeah, the article has the name Star Citizen's New Moves Prioritize Sales Over Backers. That should be pretty obvious to people here in 2018, but I was just shocked at the things coming out of this article. He links to the pledge practically.
Here's the thing about Baron is, you know, I've been known to voice my opinion once or twice, and a few communities have kind of kicked me out for it, and that's fine. But a lot of times within the first few volleys of criticism, you know, the people that cannot defend their position or are not confident in their position, they're the first ones that are going to hit the block feature. And I'm not condemning anybody for that. But I will say is you don't put yourself on the front line with a giant chip on your shoulder and dare someone to knock it off. And then when that person stands up to do just that very thing that you want to have happen, and they do it, and then they want to cower behind, you know, this, that, and the other reason, when in all actuality, they're not defending their position. One of the things that Mr. Barron has done is he, as Beat just said, he is a 100, he went into this with the best of intentions. And he is a fan. He believes in the product. And he's made it integral to his income and his identity online as a streamer. So for him to not only take my criticisms and talk about them in a rational manner and continue to do so on a regular basis whenever I have a topic that is up for discussion, it shows me he's a person of integrity. So his decision to make an article of the things that he felt needed to be voiced, you know, that wasn't done with the motives in mind of somebody that just wants attention, like Montoya or some of the other more real prominent voices like Board Gamer, who are more interested in defending the e-honor of CIG versus,
sure,
you know, they're a company and this is what they did, and this is my thoughts.
Sure.
I think it took a lot of courage for him to do that.
Yeah, he was definitely struggling whether or not to publish it or write it. I was hanging out in his chat, and usually you have to walk on eggshells with some of these streamers. There, it was pretty comfortable. Just to recap his article, he talked about the Chris's pledge, sometimes called the pledge, outside investors, if they exist or not, sunken cost fallacy, and he even called pre-orders, store orders, pre-orders, not a pledge. I mean, this is these are some goon talking points. What's going on here? I was surprised to see some of it, but at the same time, it was in some ways defensive of the situation. But I think, it was a call to attention to the issue for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I think that probably the best word is refreshing.
It was definitely different.
I would agree with that. Yeah.
You see so many people, you know, you can almost, like this come up, you can almost call the party lines and the stances before you even see them. You know, I mean, how many arguments do we jokingly recycle because you've just seen them enough times? You go, oh, well, you know, hey, this streamer is going to say, you know, this, and this guy on Reddit's going to say this. And it was refreshing to see Barron break it down. And I talked to him a little bit on Twitter the day before he had put up the article, and his initial reaction was, if you don't like it, don't buy it, which is sort of the general reaction that you get from most of the hardcore defenders, is if you don't like it, don't buy it. And that was his initial reaction, and he thought about it a little more. He said basically what he ended up saying in his article, which is, they don't need to do this. And so because of that, they're punishing people for no reason. And if they do need to do this, that actually raises bigger questions, because they have said multiple times now that they have plenty of money. So if for some reason I'm wrong and they do actually need to be grabbing for fresh money this desperately, that's actually an even bigger problem. And so that was I thought that was a pretty, you know, and he said he still supports the game, and he, you know, he believes in the game and wants it to be the best game that will ever be. And I feel like that's pretty fair. I certainly wouldn't expect him to come out and say, well, you know, these people are the goddamn devil. But to have the fortitude to say, guys, look, whatever you want to call it, however you want to slice this, it's anti-consumer, and it's definitely not the Cloud Imperium games that they sold themselves to us as 5 years ago. And you should be aware of that. And however it makes you feel, you know, fine. But if you want to hold them accountable, then we need to start doing so. And this is a good line. I think it took a lot of fortitude to come out and say that. Just personally, I was impressed. I thought it was, you know, there's a reason why I shared that. I thought it was eminently reasonable, if nothing else.
I very much agreed. I mean, like, reading over the article, it is very much clear that there are a lot of people sort of like, I want to say not so much betrayed, but just, I guess sort of somewhat betrayed that, that they had this ideal of, Cloud Imperium Games as somebody that will look after them after they pledge this money. Sort of say, you know what? No, we like you. You've been here since the beginning. We'll take care of you because you were there. And now they're kind of realizing a little bit that being there in the past doesn't mean being here in the present.
Right.
Yeah. Which is kind of sad.
Yeah, but I mean, the thing to take away and the thing to remember here is that everybody's got their own limits. And like I said, this is just the most recent in a long line of these. I mean, I started, you know, not believing or having doubts or
really
being cynical about it around the time that LTI went away this time. And my thought was, okay, look, why not just give LTI to everybody? I don't, you know, if it's not that big of a deal and you're saying it's going away.
I never thought the insurance was like that big a deal. I thought it was always kind of like, oh God, it's just some stupid game gimmick, you know, whatever. It's a cooldown timer. But to see that like people like you beat that were influenced, like your purchases were influenced over that.
Yeah, well, I mean, okay. So
like, it's so not even a part of the game. Why is it even relevant? Why are we talking about it?
Okay, you gotta remember. It's
hard, man, because I know differently from you.
okay, first things first. You have to remember that the Beatwagon that you know today is a far older, far wiser Beatwagon than the one that pledged for, you know, $1,000 of internet spaceships.
You do it all at once or
no? Here's what I'm saying, and this is exactly why so many old backers feel pissed off about this. Here is how I got up to $1,000. This is my Star Citizen transaction history.
It was, you know, I can invest in greens and one day turn them into purples.
That's actually an oversimplification.
Fair. It was as well. So, you mentioned like this is a different kind of company.
My first purchase was the $45 basic whatever thing, right? And then I melted that and bumped it up to the 300i package, I think. And then melted that and got something. I got an Avenger, but over. You know, 5 or so years, that's how my purchases went. I never once just was like, I'm just gonna buy a Starfarer. It was always, well, I don't necessarily need this. I'm gonna melt it, and this ship is only $50 or $100 more, so I'm just gonna do that. This, you know, this, that, and the other thing. I worked my way up from a $45 starting package, two, one for me and one for my wife. I worked my way up from $90 to $1,200 over the course of several years, the entire way by melting and repurchasing and adding in a little bit of money here and there. And that was the thought process was that, hey, you know what? Look, I spend $15 a month on WoW, okay? And I don't even fucking play WoW anymore. I had been paying for a WoW subscription for a year before I actually was like, dude, come on, you're not logging back in. Come on, man, just cancel the subscription, right? So the thought process was, hey, if I can give WoW, you know, if I can give a game that I don't play and don't give a shit about $15 a month, I'm making good money. I could throw $40 a month into Star Citizen just to keep the engine rolling, keep the fucking train moving, right? And that's how a lot of people did it. So now that they've effectively said, that's not enough. You can't do that and get the benefits that you used to get anymore. And people are, I think, in my opinion, rightfully upset about that. And a lot of that comes down to whether or not you think LTI has any value. But you also have to remember that LTI was initially billed as having value. And then when they realized that people weren't buying ships without LTI, they said it was going to be worthless. But then when they took it away after changing course and saying it's not going to be worth it, they're like, look, okay, I know you guys love that much, and we're going to take it away. All of us, all of the old backers, were like, dude, come on, man. I'm happy to give you guys money, but I want lifetime insurance. Because remember, when this game was initially billed, you could permanently lose a ship that you paid money for if your insurance lapsed on it.
Yep.
So, so lifetime insurance.
Damn!
Yeah. 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 So, you know, you say, well, lifetime insurance is just, you know, you don't even have to pay that much on insurance. And all of that is after the fact. All of the arguments about how insurance is not going to be very much money and how it's going to run for in-game time only. And even if you forget to re-up your insurance and you lose your ship, well, you'll have to pay slightly more, but you can still get it back. That's all new. When I backed, and for a very long time after I backed, you could permanently lose your $250 spaceship if you had a brain fart and forgot to re-up your insurance and went out and got blown up.
Yes, wow. This was based upon design claims made by Chris Roberts and a lot of the design and development team, you know, moving forward. Sort of like Death of a Spaceman was sort of like that idea that sort of like permadeath was a thing, you know, permanent loss of value. And also sort of to give you a little bit more context on the, you know, LTI is worthless, LTI has value kind of thing. You have to remember that after the initial crowdfunding campaign, original backers were allowed to buy new ships with LTI, but new backers weren't allowed them. So that's what started the whole LTI laundering thing. A lot of us goons were in on this. I personally didn't. Yeah, beer for the beer god. Yep. I myself did not partake in this because, you know, the one thing I kind of told CIG at the start was sort of like CIG employees, either from four moderators to Chris himself, cannot participate in this laundering, or else it looks like we are gaining monetarily from, you know, individual backers in an unscrupulous way.
Right.
So I stayed out of that.
I mean, okay, so Dapper, here's... To understand the importance of LTI, here's something. It would not be, in my opinion, and you can probably either back me up or refute me on this, it would not be inaccurate, in my opinion, to say that the entire Star Citizen gray and black markets exist primarily because LTI was used as a sales driver and people who couldn't get it on something wanted it desperately.
You know, one of the first, because I joined Star Citizen controversy metagame pretty late, one of the articles that hooked me in was this, I forget what site it was on, but it was exploring this entire gray market and people were doing this full time. It was nuts.
I can't remember if that's a Mitani article or if that was...
Yeah. But it's not wrong. So initially it was things like LTI laundering, where you would send, for example, if I backed after LTI got quote unquote cut off and I was one of the new backers, I could say, hey, beer, listen, I'm going to gift you my 325A package or whatever, right? You melt it and buy a 325A package of LTI and then gift it back to me. And it was a $0 transaction, but it let you get your org mates LTI on their ships.
I don't think it was zero sum. A new backer paid more for
That's right.
And so you left the guy that laundered it for you either money a bonus, a or you asked him to say, hey, turn it into like hangar flare or something like that.
Yeah. And back. Yeah. That's yeah. No, you're absolutely right. You're right. It's been many years. But
you know,
Hey guys.
What's up?
There is a breaking rumor on the Star Citizen front.
What's up?
I know.
Breaking news.
I know we're loath to take the Great Warlord's hyperbole at any kind of thing other than face value. But apparently, SIG is preparing to file bankruptcy, and they have less than $9 million in tangible cash assets. Stand by.
What?
That would be...
That, whoa! This is not the ending I was predicting.
That's interesting enough to almost be worth speculating on. I'll say that. How about that?
I think the article I was thinking of is called Inside Star Citizen's Gray Market. It appeared on Eurogamer.net.
Ah, okay. But that makes sense.
It's a long thing. It kind of talks to some of the gray marketers and how they're doing this. And it was crazy. It's like never seen this before.
The end run of that whole conversation is that to some people, LTI is very important, and it is that way because Cloud Imperium sold it as being very important, and that is sort of the root cause of a lot of this blowback, and it's very easy for people to look at it now and say, why are you guys mad? And that's what's happening on Reddit a lot and on Twitter a lot, is people are saying, dude, I don't even understand why you're mad. But this goes way back. It was billed as being super important. So that's that. Tell me more about this upcoming bankruptcy. I'm fascinated to hear about this.
I would probably say, let's save that for the next episode.
The next hour?
The next hour, yes. Because, I mean, sort of like, I have my own theories that I've tried to research into. And also, sort of listening to this, I'm going to have to look at my contract and see what this does for me.
Oh, you know, you're right, Bucha. I think that this is best for the next hour because I'm definitely going to need a refill on my rum and coke before we start getting into, I think they might be stuff. That's going to require booze.
One thing I like about Goons is we fact check. You know, we don't just grab hold of any little rumor from Derek. You know, we wait for the documents, the court documents. And this is no different. Bucha, you made a post a long time ago talking about the difference between Redditors and Goons. And one of my favorite parts is we fact check. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, most of us.
I mean, sort of like... most of us, yes. I mean, sort of like... just looking at the Bad News Baron article, I mean, like, I have to link back to the pledge, sort of like, you know, talking about, you pledged your money to earn your citizenship. Now it's our turn. We, the Star Citizen team at Cloud Imperium, hereby promise to deliver the game you expect. You, the tens of thousands of pledgers, have allowed us to cut out the last 500 years, the fourth stimp. Oh, god damn.
Oh, no. Fucking podcast. Oh, Jesus.
You jumped the shark.
Oh, you're getting a week probation for that. Unacceptable. No, but for as much mileage as we've gotten out of this fire, how much mileage? We really have not paid nearly enough attention to the pledge, because I bet if you were to be a fly on Chris's wall right now, he would pay almost anything to have never fucking written that goddamn thing.
Yeah. I mean, sort of like, even the pledge itself has changed. I mean, sort of like, it used to be... on the old site, it was the picture of us at Perry's Chop House during the 24-hour live stream back in November 2012. I mean, like, I'm there playing as day, you know, right next to everybody else, sort of like, you know, and, like, I endorsed the pledge fully, sort of like, you know, yes, this is what we're going to do. You know, as in sort of like the promise to the backers, sort of like, yes, we are going to make this game, you know, we're going to make this game as, you know, as the ethical gaming company, as Pete was putting it. Sort of like, we're going to show everything up front. We're going to show you how the sausage is made. We're going to have some failures along the way, you know, but, you know, we're committed to making this game for you guys.
You know what's funny?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. As it turns out.
Yeah. You know what's funny is over the years, I have, it's switched. There's been like opposite gradients over the years since I found out about these things. I have, over the years, I have started reading The Fourth Stimpire far more seriously and less sarcastically, and becoming more terrified of Star Citizen backers as a result of that. But I have also started reading, I can't read The Pledge now. Like, when I read The Pledge, like, you know, in 2013 or whatever, when I backed, I had, like, stars in my eyes, and I was like, oh, now it's our turn to do this for you guys. And now I read it, and, like, I read it head in a sarcastic voice, like Chris Roberts is just sitting there like, can you believe these guys are gonna this? It's, I've started reading The Pledge more and more sarcastically, and I've started reading The Stimpire more and more seriously, and it's a terrifying combination. It really is just awful.
Read it in the voice of Chris Roberts, but the temperament of Rick
from Rick and Morty.
Yeah, or you could just shorten that and say read it in the voice of Frey or both.
I can't, but you know, listening to that dude speak English, it's not so much that he has an accent or an impediment. It's that he chews the language up and spits it out of his mouth.
He seems angry at the very...
I think he's angry at bowel movements. That's my call.
Well, I mean, probably that too. I don't see why it couldn't be both. But when you hear him talk, you're like, that guy hates language. That guy's really mad at having to speak words at things.
Yeah, I think he would much prefer to just point and grunt.
Mm-hmm. Like bash stuff with a stick.
Either that, or he sounds very much like one of those historical movies with Goebbels. But
we should be careful, because I've been informed that at the moment Star Citizen, I will be sued for libel and/or harassment. So I should probably not say that Ortwin Freiermuth looks like a Nazi.
No,
probably shouldn't say
or
that
all too. The Nazi numeralization.
Now, do you have a favorite Reddit post of this week? Because I have mine.
yes, we do.
I would love to see yours. I have almost too many to count.
Here's a segment from mine. I have to Google it to find it. But people need to start looking at and talking about the game in terms of what is playable, not what is promised. It took me years to realize this myself. This was like Bucha, I don't want to toot my own horn, but this was kind of the idea behind Star Citizen Tracker. What is playable today versus what is promised?
Very much so.
Oops, I forgot to put this Google search in quotes.
Well, while you do that, I do want to take the moment to point out that why are there so many of what you would call the alt-right that are absolute Star Citizen diehards?
Escapism.
I think that this was covered kind of at length in the thread, and I can't really do it justice, but Republican science fiction is, I forget what the actual term is, but it's these kind of guys buy in hard to the Starship Troopers fantasy and the in space, in a space with no rules, where I can do it, where I can do literally anything I want. Captain of industry, and I'll have all the money, and I'll be able to do whatever. It's a pretty common trope in books, where there's like a perfectly unfettered capitalistic society, and then mankind goes off and kills all the aliens. It's very
I know what you're talking about. It's like the Ayn Rand fantasies, right?
Yeah, it's sort of libertarian in nature. And it draws a lot of those guys. A lot of people, like Starship Troopers, for example, very seriously and do very seriously believe that you should only be able to vote if you've been in the military, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay, so very authoritarian.
Yes. Yeah. There's a subset of science fiction fantasy books, and the thread would be better. There's a post in the thread that actually explains it, and I can't remember who made it, and I can't find it, so I'm not even going to go looking. But there's a subset of those books that appeal to a very sort of authoritarian, super conservative.
I'm looking it up as sort of like libertarian science fiction awards. I mean, like,
but it drags those guys in, and Citizen is the way that it's been pitched is basically you'll be able to do all of the things from your favorite books forever. So it kind of makes sense.
Going back to this breaking news, I believe around the Crytek lawsuit, he started saying that there was something else that he couldn't talk about yet. Is this that something right. else? His leading tweet says breaking. Very bad Star Citizen news. It's been in the works for some time now, but like the Crytek lawsuit, I couldn't talk about it. And then the following tweet, you know, details this supposed bankruptcy filing.
Now, what I am going to say is...
It's not an actual filing. I'm sorry.
What I am going to say is, you know, I love Derek. I think he's a swell guy. But one thing I will say is he is one for self-promotion.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, people in the industry do talk to him. People of all walks of life do talk to him. You know, and it's sort of like the agent, you know, you got to take it as it comes, and you have to kind of be your own self navigating beacon through all of that. Derek, sometimes, you know what, he's strikingly hot on the money, but you know, and other times, you know, it's all smoke up your ass.
Oh yeah. I don't think.
Now
he's learned from us how to poke the bear,
right? And so at no time am I going to say he's not trying to put those guys on Reddit on suicide watch for a day or so. But you know, you got to look at the actual message being sent there. Okay, we're in the works for a while. You know what? What's a while? Was it before the lawsuit? Was it after the lawsuit? You know
right. I mean?
So there's so much
Is this the long-awaited extinction level event?
Yeah. Is this the ELE or is this?
Yeah, I think
or is this you asking to be let back in because you were banned for being a douche? I mean, you can't. You can't say.
Yeah. On that front, look, man, I love Derek, but you know.
Can't be doxing folks.
I actually do, you know, I think I'm just drunk enough to speak about this. There is a narrative, or there was a narrative for a while, pushed by none other than the man himself, that I somehow had it in for him, or I didn't like him or something like that. Let me just make it very clear. I invited Derek Smart to my wedding.
Wow.
Okay, so yeah. Which, you know, yeah, that probably would have been fucking hilarious.
It would have been hilarious.
I wish he had come.
But, I didn't get invited. God damn.
I'm
down the road from you, fucker.
You are down the road from me.
Wait a second. Wasn't there a hurricane at the same time as this wedding?
Yeah. No. This was before.
and it was a quote unquote wedding.
Yeah. Right. the point is, if it were in my power to let Derek back, I absolutely would. I have nothing against him. I think that he gets a little wound up sometimes, and the thread is worse off when he is just quoting his tweets endlessly. But when he actually engages and talks to people, it makes for some of the best reading of the whole thread.
Oh,
but,
yeah, because he will school you. He will take you literally to school.
Or, and listen, or, or he'll self-immolate over the dumbest thing. Like, it's, you know, I mean, but that's Derek, and that's sort of, you know, you love him and you hate him for the same reason.
I think my favorite derail on the thread to date has been the whole comma period.
I still don't understand. For those not in the know,
there's some kind of like European separation of how you use commas and periods, and it was sad. Yeah, it was just weird posting time.
Maybe the joke's on me being naive and thinking like, hey, maybe this is the one time Derek will just back down and say like, oops, my bad, I didn't know. I don't know why I thought that. I don't know why I even bothered. But I said my piece and I said, look, here's all of these things that show that this is how commas and periods are used in numbers in Europe, and that's it. That's all I have to say. And it went on for like 15 more pages.
Yep.
Hey guys, we're coming up here on the top of the hour. Why don't we call it here, and we'll, if we want to continue the conversation, we can do so in the next hour.
Yeah, that's totally fine.
Go ahead and give me your outros. Sure.
I don't have an outro. I just listen to the podcast more. Hi, bye. That's it. That's all I got.
Hi, this is Bucha, and I've done nothing this week.
Make more videos.
How you doing? This is Dapper Don. I wanted to go ahead and say thanks to everybody that was here and for having us on. Give the podcast a like and a follow.
This is your virtual captain. Please strap in for landing. Like, subscribe, blah, 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 blah. Follow me on Twitter. We're out, bros. See you next time.